We ended yesterday when we looked at the fact that Jesus said, I'm looking for faith. He said, when I come back, will I meet faith in the world? And we see that one of the things that God uses to make our faith genuine is what? Trials, difficulties, the afflictions of the world, the sufferings. Those are the things that God makes to bring us to the place of a genuine faith. And so what the enemy thought to be something evil, God used the same raw material to produce faith. And I said, this is why the Bible says, count it all joy when you fall into diverse temptation. Because those things produces endurance, and then endurance is needed to finish the race. He said, as many that endure to the end shall be what? Now, you don't endure what is palatable. You endure what is hard. You endure what is not good. You endure pain. Nobody endures joy. Do you endure joy? Can you be eating pandanyam and say, my wife, I'm enduring this pandanyam? No, you don't endure what is good. You endure what is... Well, but the Bible says, those who endure to the end. So it's talking about that we are pressing. It's like there's a lot of what Pastor Tunji said, there's an opposition that we are trying to force our way through. Now, he's trying to stop us, but at the same time, we are enduring. And we must understand that we have the capacity to endure. Hello? We have the grace. The Holy Ghost has been given to us to enable us. And so, God will not, like what P.S. was talking when he was thinking, God will not demand something from us when he has not equipped us enough to deal with it. It will be unfair of God to demand righteousness from me when he has not given me what it takes to handle it. But we know that God is not wicked. So if God is saying that those who endure to the ends, it means that he knows that we can endure. And one of the ways that he has chosen to strengthen, to build endurance is what? Suffering, trials, challenges of life, persecution. And you know that all these things, persecution is not the same as affliction. It's not the same as suffering. Persecution is something different. But these are the things we all go through. Both trials, both persecution, both suffering, afflictions. The Bible says many are the afflictions of the sinners. Huh? Of the righteous. Many. He didn't say few. He said many. Are you a righteous person? If you're a righteous person, let me see your hand up. If you're a righteous person. Some people are not even sure whether they are righteous. Righteousness is the gift. We are righteous. We are made righteous. But you also know that even though we are made righteous, then we're also supposed to walk in it. Just like I just told you, we have been made pure, but we also need to keep ourselves pure. That is the walk. We are saved by grace, to do work. We are saved. I wasn't saved because I live holy, because I don't even have the capacity. The Bible says my righteousness is like a filthy rag before God. But once we have been saved, we are expected to walk righteously. Do you understand? So God gives us this romance. So let's go back to 2 Corinthians chapter 4. So the things that the enemy taught to be evil, they are the things that God uses to shape us. So God allowed it. And we also need to know that God does not tempt people, doesn't tempt his own with evil. But he allows some of these things. Okay? 2 Corinthians chapter 4, from verse 16. New King James, please. That's where we stop. So we see why we need to rejoice. Therefore, we do not lose heart. Even though our outward man is what? Perishing. Which one is the outward man? The flesh. What is the flesh? Huh? The flesh is actually this body, not the flesh as in carnal. The flesh here is not carnality. The flesh here is our body. Do you understand that? So he said, we don't lose that. Even though our outward man is perishing, we are growing old day by day. We are being faced with difficulties, and it's affecting our physical body. He said, but yet the inward man is being renewed day by day. Look at the next verse. He said, for our light affliction. I emphasized that at that time. He said, our is our own. Ever say my own? You know, the truth is, even whether you prophesy it or not, is your own. You know, this affliction that you did not beckon on, but they attach themselves to you because you have been appointed to be afflicted. Tears. But that's the truth. We read it yesterday. Is it what this? And I have to keep saying because, listen. The Bible says, you know, when Paul was speaking to Timothy yesterday, he said, when we were with you, we told you. The problem most of the time is that we are not being told some of these things. You see, when we are with you, we told you that this thing will happen. And when it happened, you saw it. 2 Timothy chapter 3. Yeah, let's go there. We'll come back to this. 2 Timothy chapter 3 verse, let's see from verse 12. 2 Timothy chapter 3 from verse 12. Let's go back to verse 11. Let me see. Verse 11. Okay, verse 10. Sorry. Yeah. Now, look at Paul talking to Timothy. You know, I love the dimension you talked about when he said there's some things when Paul was speaking to Timothy, it wasn't like when he was speaking to the church. Yeah, that was so powerful. So, he said, but you have carefully followed my doctrine. Now, this is Paul talking to Timothy, his son in the Lord. He said, you have carefully followed my doctrine, manner of life, purpose, faith, long-suffering, love, perseverance. The next verse. What have you followed also? Persecution. Afflictions. Are you seeing that there is even between persecution and afflictions? And then here, we don't know the affliction. It can be anything. And Paul said, you have fully followed these things. It's like you have no meaning with these things. These things are not strange to you. Now, if Paul the apostle, the man we know as a man of faith, is talking about affliction. Huh? So let's go back. Our light, everybody say our light. Our light affliction. 2 Corinthians chapter 4. Yeah, for our light affliction, which is but for a moment. So which means that when you are going through that affliction, you must understand that this is for a moment. It's not going to last. It's not going to what? No. God did not allow affliction in your life that will last forever. No, it doesn't. As a matter of fact, if God allows it, it's because he knows that you have the capacity to handle it. Because the Bible says, he will not allow us to be tempted beyond what we can bear. So if it is coming to you because he knows that he has given you enough dose of strength and faith to bear it. So if I don't bear it, if I fall under it, then the Bible says, if you faith in the day of adversity, it's because your strength is small. So it is not the adversity, it's because I lack strength. Are we together? So our light affliction, which is but for a moment, I love this, is working. No, the work here is not W-A-L-K. It's a working for us. So this affliction, they are what? They are our servant. They are at our beck and call. They are serving us. Hello? Are we seeing scripture here? He said, working for us. They are serving us. And that's why they say, when they see, they rejoice. Because they know that this affliction has come to serve me. It didn't come to kill me. It has come to make me develop endurance. Because I need endurance to finish this race. It's not a 100-meter dash. It's a marathon. You don't win a marathon race by speed alone. You win a marathon race by endurance. ability to endure pain, ability to keep at it. So if you're going to hold on to faith, friends, it takes endurance to hold on to faith. If it is easy to hold on, there won't be any admonition to hold on. If it's something that everybody can do, there won't be any need to educate me separately and say, no, you need to hold on. Hello? And so, for us to be challenged to hold on is because it is not easy to do. So, because it's not, so as I'm holding on, there's an opposition. The world is opposing me. My flesh is opposing me. Satan is opposing me. They don't want me to hold on. And because I know that I have to hold on, what do? I endure the pain. And so when I see it, I rejoice. Because he's working for us. Look at it. Working for us a far more exceeding eternal weight of what? Remember glory again. We are seeing glory again. Remember, that's the future. So which means these are the things that these things are working. So they are not meant to kill us. They are meant to develop endurance. But let's find out. What is this suffering? Because not all sufferings are meant to develop endurance. So let's allow scripture to speak. Hallelujah. So let's read 1 Peter chapter 4, from verse 12. 1 Peter chapter 4, from verse 12. Beloved, do not think it strange concerning the word, the fiery trials, which is to try you, as though some strange things happened to you. Now, Peter didn't tell us what those strange things are. Those strange things happen to believers? Hello? Ah, plenty. No, things you can't even explain. You've been wondering that, but I'm praying. What is happening? It's so strange. You have prayed, you have fasted, you have believed God. You have carried bottle, you have drank bottle of oil that you call anointing oil. You have sowed seed. Your first fruit, you sow them. Everything you sow, and yet the issue is still there. Huh? The next verse. Look at it. Are you seeing scripture? The same thing. We heard it from Paul. We heard it from James. Peter is saying it. Out of two or three witnesses, the word, the two shall be established. But rejoice. Look, why? To the extent that you are partaker of Christ's sufferings. That when his glory is what? When will his glory be revealed? At the last days. And please take note of that. We're coming back to this glory. It's revealed. You may also be glad with exceeding joy. Uh-huh. Let's go, please. Look at this. If you are reproached for the name of Christ, blessed are you. How many people want to be blessed? The Bible says you are blessed when you are reproached for the what? For the name of Christ. So this is another way you can be blessed. So that means there is blessing in being reproached for the name of Christ. Jesus said it now. So Peter got it from Jesus Christ, the Beatitude. He said, blessed are you when men persecute you and revile you and say all manner of falsely things against you. He said, blessed are you. That's our master. The one we say we are following. He said, we are blessed when people insult us. When people speak evil about us, but what do we say in our own time? Back to the sender. God punish Satan. You know, we have imbibed all manners of jargons in the kingdom that is alien to Christ. Thunder fire them from a believer. And like, you are saying those things in the name of prayer, and everyone is looking and saying, what is happening here? My son seems to be praying, but he's manifesting demonic activities. Because the things you are doing is alien to Christ. Because Jesus Christ said, bless those who curse you. So, I don't understand the Jesus you are following. He said, bless those who curse you. He said, bless, don't curse. But I see believer cursing today, and I'm wondering, even leader, pastors, and the sobbing thing for me is this, friends, that we have so much elevated men of God at the expense of the word of God. As long as this man of God that is saying it, everything goes. No, it's actually painful. Because I'm seeing believers who are lost. And I think I was, I don't know whether my wife I was talking with sometimes. I said, some events happen, especially during the election. Then I now realize that when the Bible says it is possible for people to derail, I now understand. That it's possible for people to begin to go off course by following a man. Because most of us, we just follow what they say. We don't even bother to check. So you see believers cursing in the name of praying. But Jesus said, bless, don't curse. He said, bless them who hate you, who despisingly use you. Is this in the Bible? Then why are all these back to the sender that are here? Why all these kill them before they kill you? So you believe that with the Holy Ghost in your heart, in your life, the enemy can get hold of you. So you need to kill the enemy before they can get you. When the Bible says we are seated with Christ far above principalities and power. We don't even know what we carry. Seated with Christ far above principalities and power. That's our place. And they have told us all manners of lies. That when you eat in the dream, you are eating poison. Where did you see it in scripture? Have you seen it in scripture before? That if you eat in the dream, you are eating poison. Who told you that? Where did you get it? Paul said, who has bewitched you? Who do you? That if you eat in the dream, you are eating poison. Where is it written in the Bible? Where? That if I'm swimming in the dream, I have my main spirit. How can you have my main spirit? A believer. How? My sister called me one and she was telling me that for me, I don't know. They told me that I have the spirit of wishes. I'm a wizard. It's like I have wish. I'm a wish. I said, can you talk? Hey, sorry. But you didn't hear me. I said, how can you say you are a wish? How now? How? If you're a wish, won't you know? Now, do you know why they say she is a wish? She used to dream and see her mother that have died in the dream. How does that translate to being a wish, sir? So she's always worried. I said, okay, change. Hey, what am I? Camilla, you didn't enter me. Sorry. How will you have the Holy Ghost? And which is also partnering with the Holy Ghost. They are occupying space inside of you. Doctrines of demons. That's what the Bible talks about. Those are doctrines of demons. Doctrines of demons. How can a believer, how can you say you have a... Welcome, sir. My mom came home sometimes and said she had a dream. She was backing baby in the dream. So she was worried. He said, ah, it's not good. It's a bad dream. I said, mom, how can you say that one is a bad dream? Are you not a grandmother? Meanwhile, she was believing God for our last born, to have a baby. And you dream that you are carrying baby, and you say that is a bad dream. Who do us? Who do us? Huh? You dream, you are seeing yourself, you saw yourself wearing wedding garment, wedding gown. They say you have spirit husband. What does spirit husband have to do with wedding garment? Wedding gown. Ah, hello. Let's even assume that the food they bring to you in the dream is poison. Didn't Jesus said, if you eat deadly thing, it won't harm you? Are you listening to me? Are you listening to me? It is well. For if you are approved for the name of Christ, blessed are you. For the spirit of glory and of God rest upon you. On their part is blasphemed, but on your part he is glorified. Continue, please. But let none of you suffer as a what? As a what? As a what? As a what? So if you are suffering from this, don't say, I'm suffering for the Lord. So this is what the suffering is talking about. I'm not suffering for the Lord. You are supposed to read for your exam. You know, you fail. You now say, God is trying me. It's a trial of faith. It's not a trial of faith. You did not read. You know, God is testing my faith to see whether I will give up or not. Hallelujah.
Amen.
May the Lord help us.
Amen.
Pastor Junji has entered. He has allowed all my notes to fly. Why did you enter at the time you entered? Hey, Jesus Christ. Joseph landed in the prison. For what offense? Huh? For what offense? For wanting to stand for righteousness. That's what we are talking about. That's the suffering we are talking about. Let's read the Hebrews 11. The book of Hebrews from verse 23. Let's look at what the Bible says concerning Moses. We'll read from verse 23 down to verse 27. By faith, Moses, when he was born, was hidden 3 months by his parents because they saw he was a beautiful child and they were not afraid of the king's command. Okay? By faith, Moses, when he became of age, look at this, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter. Refused. He chose. Why? Now, you need to understand, Egypt at that time was the world power. I don't think what America is the world power today. No. The power is being shared. But that, at that time, Egypt was a world power. Look at it. Chosen rather to suffer what? Huh? Hello? Now, this is a New Testament scripture. Because the writer of Hebrew is bringing it into the New Testament because it is applicable to us. That Moses chose rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the passing pleasure of sin. T.S. mentioned when he said the sin is pleasurable. Yeah. Extreming the what? The reproach of who? So which means that at that time Christ was there. Look at this. Reproach of Christ. So when Moses was suffering, he said he was what? Extreming the reproach of Christ. Greater riches than the treasures in Egypt, for he looked to the reward. By faith, he forsook Egypt, not fearing the wrath of the king, for he... Look at the word again. For he... has seen him who is what? I touched on something before we went on break. And that was the story of Job. The Bible told us, you know, I said, I've had preachers say that Job suffered what he suffered because he was a servant of God, he was not his son. So we cannot suffer the same thing that Job suffered because we are not servants, we are sons of God. And he also said that why he suffered was because there was a loophole, and that is fear. Because fear is a torment. They quote scriptures. That the devil entered through that fear. When Job said, the things I fear most have come upon me. So that was the loophole. Hello, ladies and gentlemen. The Bible was clear. We knew what happened. Eh? Satan came and God asked. That was what happened. Eh? So Job suffered affliction not because he does not have faith. Job suffered affliction not because he's not a child of God. But God allowed it to happen. Now the question is, can a believer of today go through some of the things that Job went through and is it possible for a believer to go through the same thing today? The answer is yes. Even though we are born again. And it has nothing to do with sin. Have you seen believers who lost their loved ones? Huh? Have you seen believers who are sick? And it has nothing to do that they lack. You know, we think that anytime people are sick, it's because they lack faith. No, please, I beg you, please. It's not true. It's not true. Do you know why I came to this conclusion? That this can also happen to a believer, even in the New Testament. James chapter 5. Let's read from verse 7. James chapter 5 from verse 7. Therefore be patient, brethren, unto the coming of the Lord. See how the farmer wait for the precious fruit of the head, waiting patiently for it until he receive the early and the latter rain. You also be patient. Okay? Establish your heart, for the coming of the Lord is at hand. Do not grumble against one another, brethren, lest you be condemned. Behold, the judge is standing at the door. My brethren, let's start paying attention. My brethren. Now, who are brethren? Eh? Who are brethren? Believers, brothers and sisters. My brethren, take the prophets who spoke in the name of the Lord as an example of what? Suffering and patient. Indeed, we count them. Look at the word again. We count them blessed who endure. Look at the next thing. You have had. Now, James is writing to a New Testament believer. And he said, you have had. From who? From who? He said, you have had. Of the what? The perseverance of Job. And seen the end intended by the Lord. That the Lord is very compassionate and merciful. Now, why will James be bringing me to what happened to Job to encourage those who are suffering if the possibility is not there? There's no point bringing in him. There's no point. Now, I am not saying you shouldn't use your faith to war against sickness, disease, and all that. We should do that. But what I'm saying is this, that will you give up on God when any of your family, your child, God forbid, whoever is afflicted, and you have prayed, you have fasted, and it remains? What will you do at that point? Will you give up on God or you keep trusting God? That's what we are talking about. Or your health is challenged. Will you keep trusting God even in the midst of that affliction? That's what we are talking about. And that's why James brought the story of Job. Second Corinthians 11. Let's allow the Bible to. You know, we are looking at, so that we don't miss this thing up. You know, the three blue men. They told Nebuchadnezzar, we are not careful to answer you in this matter. Our God is able to deliver us. I know that. God has the ability to deliver. He has the ability to set free. Our God is able to deliver us. But even if we still not bow. 2 Corinthians 11. Because of time, let's read from verse 22. This is Paul speaking. Are they Hebrews? So am I. Are they Israelites? So am I. Are they the seed of Abraham? So am I. Are they ministers of Christ? I speak as a fool. He's talking about the false ministers. I am more in labor, more abundant, in stripes above measure. In prison, more frequently. Hello? In debt, often. These are apostles of Christ. From the Jews, 5 times I received 40 stripes minus one. That's 39, right? 3 times I was beaten with rods. Once I was stoned. You know, we read that one yesterday. 3 times I was shipwrecked. A night and a day I have been in the deep. In journey, in perils of water, in perils of robbers, in perils of my own countrymen, in perils of the Gentiles, in perils of the city, in perils in the wilderness, in perils in the sea, in perils among false brethren, in weariness and in toil, in sleepless night, in sleeplessness, often. In what? No, this is not fasting. No. In hunger and thirst, in what? Fasting. So, which means that there are times that Paul wanted to eat, but food no day. But God shall supply all our needs according to his riches in glory. I know that. But we are talking about even when the supply does not come, will you compromise? Will I keep holding on to faith? Even when the surprise does not come. Even I have to go hunger because I don't want to sleep with that man. Hello? Are we together? You know, we're just allowing scriptures. You know, Pastor Tunji, by the time it comes now, you know, Pastor Tunji, like, when you have, well, if there is a tab that has been closed for so long, you just open, psh, psh, psh. That was my first impression about you, sir. This pastor is like a tab, you just open. Psh, psh. Me, I'm wondering where is those words coming from. You know, people like us, it's like, we just talk small. Why don't we just psh, 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 psh. So don't worry, push, push. So let's read Romans chapter 8. Romans chapter 8. Read this scripture and then I'll just make two comments and then I will step aside. From verse 31. Let's read from the New Living Translation. I love the way it was captured. What shall we say about such wonderful things as this? If God is for us, who can ever be against us? Since he did not spare even his own son, but gave him up for us, wouldn't he also give us everything else? Would dares accuse us whom God has chosen for his own? No, no one. For God himself has given us right standing with himself. Who then will condemn us? No one. For Christ Jesus died for us and was raised to life for us. And is sitting in the place of honor at God's right hand, pleading for us. Can anything ever separate us from Christ's love? Does it mean he no longer loves us if we have trouble and calamity? Or are persecuted. Look at it again. You see the word hunger again. Or hungry. Destitute. Or in danger. Or threatened with death. As the scriptures say, for your sake we are killed. Every day we are being slaughtered like sheep. No. Despite all these things, overwhelming victory is ours through Christ who loved us. And I'm convinced that nothing can separate us from God's love. Neither death, nor life. Neither angels, nor demons. Neither fear for today, nor for worries about tomorrow. Not even the powers of hell can separate us from the love of God. We must come to this resolution that nothing can separate us. Nothing. Hallelujah. So let me close with these two statements. So what is the thing that will help us to actually bear it? And when I'm going through difficulty, suffering, whatever name it is, I will count it as joy. Knowing that it produces patience, endurance, it develops character. Number one, let's read Hebrews chapter 12, verse 1 and 2. And then we read Romans chapter 8, verse 17 and 18. Therefore, since we are surrounded by such huge cloud of witnesses to the life of faith, let us strip off every weight that slows us down, especially the things that so easily trip us up. And let us run, look at it again, with endurance, the race that God has set before us. How should we do it? Verse 2. We do this. Now, go back to verse 1, please. It said we should run the race with what? Now, why are we enduring the race? Because there are opposition. There are challenges. There are trials, there are difficulties, there are Suffering alone. Remember yesterday? Acts 14:22. That we must enter the kingdom through many suffering. And so, as they are coming, we are enduring them. So let us run with endurance the race that God has set before us. So we are running with endurance. How? We do this by keeping our eyes on who? Not on the problem, but on Jesus. Because the moment we take off our eyes away from Jesus, we begin to sink. That was what happened to Peter. I hope you know that Peter actually walked on water. And I hope you know that the wind that Peter saw has always been there before he stepped on that water. Because it was the wind that blew their ship or their boat into the sea. So, when Jesus was, he wasn't just demonstrating. The wind, Bible says, was boisterous and then blew. It was on the shore because Jesus told them to wait for him, that he wants to climb. He would climb the mountain, so they were waiting. But the wind was contrary, so he blew the boat farther away from the shore. So they are struggling with that. So Jesus, when he came, he was coming to them because they're already away. And the storm was there. And they started walking on water to meet them. And then the Bible said they were so afraid and they thought it was a ghost. I said, no, be not afraid, it's I. And Peter said, if it is you, Master, let me come. And the Bible says he was coming to Jesus. But the Bible says the wind was boisterous. And the Bible says Peter saw wind. I've not seen people seeing wind before, but Peter saw wind that day. Immediately, the Bible says he was going towards Jesus, but immediately he took off his eyes away from Christ. The Bible says begins to sink. Please, brethren, listen to me. The challenges of life will always be there. Never take away your eyes from Christ. Please, I beg you. Never. Even when you don't understand, keep your eyes on Christ. Don't allow anything in life to make you feel that God is unfaithful or is unfair. The Bible says, Sarah judged God faithful. You must always judge God faithful, even when his faithfulness is not making sense. Because, listen, God does not need my experience to be faithful. He's already faithful. His nature is faithfulness. It's constant. It is not my experience that would determine whether he's faithful or not. So God is not good because I'm experiencing goodness around me. So when I'm not experiencing goodness, I begin to doubt the goodness of God. Listen, God is good because that is nature. And it is not my experience that qualifies who God is. Because before I was born, before the world was made, God has been. Now, listen, you must settle this thing in your heart. That nothing must take away my eyes from God. Who he is. He's faithful. You may not understand, but God is faithful. He is faithful. Look at this. We do this by keeping our eyes on Jesus, the champion who initiates and perfects, right? Our faith. Because of the joy awaiting him. So he was not telling us the way Jesus endured his own suffering. I think it was Pastor Richard that mentioned that even Jesus learned obedience by the thing he suffered. So, the author is telling us how Jesus undo his own. He said, because of the joy awaiting him, he did what? He endured the cross. So, he's not asking us to do what he has not done. He endured the cross. disregarding his shame. He said, now, is what? He's seated in the place of honor beside God's throne. No suffering, no glory. Romans chapter 8, 17 and 18. And since we are his children, we are his heirs. In fact, together with Christ, we are heirs of his what? Of God's glory. But if we are to share in that glory, what I'm saying here is that glory is part of our inheritance in Christ. And we're going to come into that inheritance when Christ appears. And the Bible is saying that if we are to share in his glory, we must also suffer his suffering. The suffering of obeying God. The suffering of being the will of God. Verse 18. Yet what we suffer now is what? Is nothing compared to the glory he will reveal to us later. Now listen. He said what we suffer now is not what? Is nothing compared. Now, can you compare something with nothing? Hello? If I'm saying I'm comparing things, that means there must be two things I'm comparing. I'm comparing something with something else. Now, if Paul is saying the glory, the suffering is incomparable to the glory, then it means that he has seen the glory. Because if you have not seen, you can't compare it. And that's why you see the scripture, all the scripture we read, you keep hearing the word knowing. Knowing. Brethren, it's a revelation. The Bible talks about Moses. He said he endured the wrath of a king because he had seen the invisible. Listen, we can't walk through this journey without faith. Faith is seeing the invisible, hearing the inaudible. What are you hearing? What are you seeing? Are you seeing suffering or the glory? The moment you keep putting your eyes on the suffering, you won't have the ability to endure it. And the last one. You must be conscious of the presence of the Holy Spirit. You must be conscious. He is a comforter. Let me have a favor. I'm done. I just feel I should just stop here. I still have 5 more minutes. Let me just stop. The Comforter, the Holy Spirit. We must be conscious. Please, favor, come. We must be conscious of the presence of the Holy Spirit. May the Lord bless you. May the Lord keep you. May he make his face to shine upon you and give you peace. Thank you.